words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be always acceptable in your sight, O God, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. The scripture today, we get temples and tablets about stone and spirit and how our ethics and lives should be shaped. We receive these lessons from the tablets and the actions of Jesus in the temple to remind us that we are called to be both peace builders and temple cleansers, and also to remind us that the rules apply to you. Accountability. I got this funny gift just a couple of weeks ago. It's a little sign, and it has a three-word quote, and the author is God. And so the quote is, "I saw that," which we get a little uncomfortable with in the Episcopal Church, but I think today one of the things we are called to grapple with is accountability. So first, on the Temple Mount, Moses is given a set of principles, commandments that are to be the basis for the people of God who have just been liberated from slavery. And this commandments have an order, and the first is a call to base your actions, your right actions, on the understanding that God is first. God is the foundation. God is the firm foundation, out of which the other commandments flow, out of which the right action flows. We are called to remember those, and in Lent, at the beginning of most of our services, we review the Decalogue, the Ten Commandments, and we didn't do that today because they're in our scriptures. We are called to be reminded that the world that God envisions for us is a world where truth is told, is a world where there is no killing, no stealing, no coveting. And we're called to be reminded that those things aren't just etched in stone, but they should be written on our hearts. They should be things that we remember and grapple with every day. I think one of the things that is an inclination for many people is to rationalize. So you get to living your life, and it's busy, and it's full of work and child rearing, or friends and family, or hobbies, whatever it is that it's full of. Hopefully full of some church and other good things that you do through church. But you get to rationalizing that, oh, well, I haven't killed anybody. I haven't killed anybody, so none of my sins are that bad. I've not been unfaithful. I have not borne false testimony in a trial court. So my sins are small in comparison. And yet today we're asked to remember our accountability for the things that we are responsible for in our own lives, in our communities, in our society. There may not be as dramatic as Moses receiving the tablets on the mountain, or as Jesus knotting up a cord to use as a whip to run out the greedy, corrupt people from the marketplace. But we all have our part. We all have our part. We all have our role. We all have something for which we are accountable to, for which we must make amends, for which we must repent, for which we must take positive steps to change so that we don't hurt ourselves or others. And the church sets aside this time of Lent for us to focus particularly on those things. The stories of the tablets and the temple remind us that Jesus wasn't just saying nice things. Jesus meant for us to live out the values of the people of God. What was happening in the temple that day that Jesus decided to take this action that seemed so extreme? When we read about it, we like to look at the kind, meditating, healing Jesus, and not the whip-wielding Jesus. What was happening in the marketplace that day was something that happened a lot. It wasn't extremely bad. It wasn't extremely unusual. And yet Jesus made a statement. What was happening was that people were being exploited in the exchange of money. They were being ripped off. There were people who were overselling, price gouging for what was needed for right worship and sacrifice. And there were also even priests who would tell people that their animals were not good enough, and so they had to go buy the ones being sold on site, getting a kickback from the sellers. What was going on in the marketplace was greed and exploitation. And not just greed and exploitation, but greed masquerading as something holy. That was what Jesus took a stance against. Greed masquerading as something holy, and holiness being a cover for exploitation of people to exclude them from full participation because they didn't have the resources and the means to overcome the obstacles that were placed. They were poor, and they were being exploited. The Ten Commandments and Jesus' actions remind us that God wants us to be peace builders as well as temple cleansers, to build communities with basic principles of respecting the dignity of every human being and serving Christ and the other and seeking justice. And they're not opposite ends of a spectrum. To be peaceful also means sometimes you have to take a stand and cleanse the greed out of the temple. Someone that I was reading an article about this last week put this idea together, and I think it describes somewhat what goes on in our societies this day. It says, we are all in this together. That wonderful feeling of we are all in this together is losing ground to each of us is on our own. We are not on our own. We are God's, and we are called to build community with each other. That is a community of truth-telling, of life-giving practices, of ethical practices based on putting God as the foundation and Christ as the center of our lives. Peace builders and temple cleansers for the work of God in this world. Peace builders and temple cleansers so that each of us is on our own, is outdone by we are all in this together and not vice versa. The last thing I want to talk about is, and I hope you remember this, and I'm not pointing anybody out. I may be talking to you, but I'm not talking about you, right? The rules apply to all of us. You may be getting away with something. I don't know. Like the priests and the money changers and the animal sellers for sacrifices. It may just be something that is now run of the mill. And yet we are accountable. And we must dig deep into our very souls to see where we are being greedy, where we are exploiting, where we can do better, even if it's okay with the rest of the world, even if that's the way it's always been. We've started this series on racism in our country and in our adult form. And thy shall not bear false witness is not just about being in a trial court. It's about not telling lies about each other. From as simple as repeating a rumor that is not true, to making up things about each other to make us feel better, or to building societies on lies about inferiority of the other. Those are bearing false witness. That is bearing false witness. That is what we're called to examine and hold ourselves accountable to on this third Sunday in Lent. To remember that the rules apply to us even if we seem to be getting away with it. Not to be shamed or guilted, but to be called to a transformation of our own lives, to be called to trust that God can work through us for good things, that God can call us to repentance, to lay aside what we have been doing, and to build the rest of our lives on the firm foundation that is Jesus Christ. Remember the words, the church's one foundation is Jesus Christ, her Lord. She is his new creation by water and the word. We can be a new creation. I love this line from the Psalm about presumptuous sins. The verse from Psalm 19. Above all, keep your servants from presumptuous sins. Let them not get dominion over me. Then I shall be whole and sound and innocent of a great offense. That is the goal, to keep ourselves and each other from presumptuous sins, so that we shall be whole and sound and innocent of great offense. So we must speak the truth to each other in love, to remember that the law of God is not a law to pin us down and make us squirm, but a law to call us in out of chaos into liberated community. A law not just etched on stone tablets or attested to by beautiful buildings, but a law, the ethics that are etched on our hearts that we live out through our right action and our love, so that there may be light in our eyes, as the psalm says. to remember that we are called to be peace builders and temple cleansers, reminding ourselves that the rules as well as the grace applies to us, so that we may live into a community that proclaims the resurrection because we have known it. End with the prayer and the acknowledgement from the first line, first verse of Psalm 19. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament shows his handiwork. May we remember our part in living into God's handiwork, into God's glory, into God's justice and accountability and love.